Sorry, my clock. Pardon me. I have two clocks up here on the pulpit. If y'all ever see me messing with these things up here, this one right here tells me what time it is. And it's 10 minutes fast. I do that because sometimes I forget that it's fast, and it helps me. And then this other one is a clock where I punch in how much time I'm supposed to preach. And then it goes down to zero, and the red light comes on when the battery is not loose from me pounding on the pulpit, which it usually is. And then I forget when I started, and I don't know when to quit. And sometimes I do remember and notice all of this stuff and just keep preaching anyway. But I'm going to try my best to be reasonable with the use of the time here this evening. And I want to do something that somebody asked me to do on Sunday night. Or they asked me Sunday night if I would do it soon. Sunday, we had sermons both Sunday morning and Sunday night on Psalm 19, as you know. And the 14th verse there is a very precious verse. That's not where we're headed. That verse says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, somebody said, after we had given an exposition of that psalm on Sunday night and talked about the message of that psalm on Sunday morning, and I had made such a big emphasis out of you learning how to understand what the Bible was saying and how you should come with a dispassionate search to the Word to know what the Word says, somebody said, "Well, will you help us know how to do that?" Well, you can't just do that once. You have to keep working at this. But I'm going to give you a couple of little keys tonight that I think will help you. Commitment for everything that I believe is to be biblical. Sometimes I hold positions that I think are right positions because I've trusted people or they've told me that's right. And I think, well, that must be right because they wouldn't tell me what was wrong. And then somebody will ask me, "Well, can you help me see that biblically?" And then it occurs to me that I'm not real sure how I can do that. I'm sure there are things in here that practically everybody in this room believes, and you have a conviction about, that you could not take the Bible and prove it if you tried. Now, that ought not to be. We ought to be able to study the Bible and to have conviction and to know what it says and to prove biblically the positions that we hold. Now, that principle that we find there in Psalm 19, verse 14, where it says, "The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart," that's a very important principle. Now, I would like to amplify the message in that verse a little bit by talking to you about something that we talk about frequently here at Faith Baptist Church, and that's the concept of accountability. I'd like to show you tonight how we can get some convictions in our own hearts through a diligent study of words and verses that are related to this. Turn first with me to Romans 14, and let's look at verse 12. Now, this verse occurs in the context of information about not judging each other, because it's not our responsibility to judge somebody else, but rather it is our responsibility to be ready to be judged of the Lord. Every one of us is going to give an account to the Lord. And what it says here in Romans 14:12 is, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Notice the verse before and after. That's one of the first principles that you always follow, is get the immediate and larger context of a verse. If the verse means anything, it means what it means in context. It has to. Verse 11 says, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." The context of this statement then is that we would be responsible to God for ourselves. Two important truths are being taught here. One, we are responsible. Two, we are responsible to God. Not to each other, although in a sense we are, but ultimately to God. If we were responsible to God, we'd be more responsible to each other in the way that we ought to be. But we are not just going to answer to man, we're going to answer to God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and when we are confessing, what we will be doing is giving an account to God. You see that? A lot of people say, well, one of these days every knee will bow and everybody will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the Bible does teach that. But this passage teaches that while the confession is going on, what we will be confessing or what we will be talking about is accountability. Our own account. Now, we talk about accountability a lot, but the word accountability, even as an English word, is not in the New Testament. It's not a biblical word per se, but the word account is. And we can learn an awful lot about what this means and how we should understand responsibility by studying this word. Now, there's a tool. I want to introduce you to one little tool tonight. Everybody in here has some kind of a concordance, probably. If you have a reference Bible, you have a concordance in the back of your Bible. This is a Thompson Chain reference Bible. It has probably 1,000 pages back here. Well, maybe, how many? 500 pages of notes in the back. And there, among those pages, there is a concordance. A concordance is a reference tool that lists words in alphabetical order. Not every word in the Bible would be in a Bible concordance. If you have a reference Bible, you have a concordance in the back. But then there are three different concordances that people use, and you know the old joke about those. You know, there's Strong's concordance for the strong, and Young's concordance for the young, and Cruden's concordance, okay, for the others. All right. Now, Cruden's concordance doesn't have all the words in it. It only has the word. It doesn't have the verse. It just lists the verse. Now, the problem with a concordance like that is it won't help you find verses. It'll list the word and tell you what verse it's in, but you can't use it in reverse. You can use a Strong's concordance in reverse. If you're trying to find a verse and you can't remember the reference, if you can remember one word in the verse, you can look up that word and keep thumbing down through there and it'll have a phrase from the verse and you can find the reference that way. I use that way all the time. Young's concordance is organized a little bit differently. I use Strong's all the time, and most of the study helps that are keyed to concordances are keyed to Strong's concordance. This book right here is called The New Englishman's Greek Concordance. This is a tremendous tool. You do not have to know Greek to use this book. It has some Greek words in it, but they're all spelled in English. Okay? So, you don't have to, it has some Greek letters in there too, but you know, you don't have to know those either in order to use it. The way you use this book, for example, if we wanted to study that word account, we'd go back here into one of the indices, or whatever the word is, the first index in the back. And there, all the words are listed in English. Now, if you can't speak Greek, you won't use the second index because it's in Greek. If you know the Greek word, it'll list the Greek word and tell you all the English translations of the word and what pages they're listed on. If you know the English word, it'll tell you all the Greek words that are translated that by that English word and where they appear. So as you look up account, you see that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different Greek words that are translated account or some form of the word account. This particular word that we find in Romans 14:12 is in this book on page 462. So you turn over here and both of these pages list the verses where that word that is translated account appear. And this whole column of the next page. So that word appears many, many times in the New Testament. Now, remember this. A word cannot mean every time it's used what it means everywhere it's used. That's an important principle. A lot of times people will make mistakes by thinking that they can get the meaning of a word by taking all of its meanings and adding them together. That's not the case. There are many words that we have that are the same, which are different when seen in a different context. I saw the word sewers the other day, and I thought, sewers? The sewers will do so-and-so. And I thought, what in the world does this mean? And then I got to look at it, and I thought, oh, it's sowers. Sowers. But I just glanced at it, and it was sewers. Spelled the same, I think, isn't it? Look the same. Now, that's what is it called when you have a word that's spelled the same, but it means two different things? Homonym. That's a homonym, okay? And then you have synonyms. Those are two different words with the same meaning. And then you have homophones, which are words that are spelled differently but sound the same. Now, every language has those kinds of things in them. So remember that as we look at different verses where this word is translated different ways, that does not mean this word means that everywhere it appears. Okay? So all of these meanings can impose themselves on Romans 14:12. That's one of the things you have to remember when you're doing a word study. But let's look at some of them together. Now, if you have your Bibles there, let's do that, okay? Let's turn first to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. That word that is translated account. Everyone shall give account of himself to God while he's making confession to God is found in Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Which word do you think it is? It's real easy. Huh? Account. You got it. All right, it's the word account. Same word. So, we see that the word is used the same way in other places. Now, that is not the most common translation of that word. Let's take a look at chapter 18 and verse 23. Everybody knows what's in Matthew 18, right? Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. There it is again. Same word. But now, let's look in Matthew 25 and verse 19. I'm just selecting a few here. Matthew 25 and verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Which word do you think it is here? Reckoneth. You see the similarity of meaning? See the idea that's given here? But it's still translated a different way. It's a synonym there. All right. Let's go over now to the book of Acts. We'll skip over dozens of examples of this and go over where it's used as the word account again in the book of Acts, chapter 19 and verse 40. Acts 19 and verse 40 says, "For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." You remember what was happening? They had this big tumult for a couple of hours there, and they were praising Diana and lots of problems there. And so finally a fellow came in and says, we better calm down or the Romans are going to come in and exterminate us. That's basically what that meant. We can't give an answer for this. We're not going to be able to give an account of all this noise and tumult that's going on. So it's translated account. But now see it in 1 Corinthians when Paul uses the same word, how it was translated. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to show you a little bit more variety in the use of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. "That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge." Which word? Which word do you think it is? Anybody have any idea? Utterance. It's the word utterance. Okay, now what is this telling us? So far we've seen it used as account and reckoning, and it sounds there like adding things up. But here it's used as the word utterance. All right? Let's see it now in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." Which word is it? Huh? Preaching. Wait a minute. I'm confused now, you say. Preaching. What's the common denominator so far in every verse? Huh? It's verbal. The common denominator of every verse so far is that it's something that you say. See that? Something that you say. So what do we know then about the account that's required in verse 14, verse 12 of Romans 14? You have to give a verbal account. What did the verse before say? Every tongue shall confess. You see how it all fits together now? And it brings out a little bit more meaning. But let me show you a couple more verses here. Look over at Ephesians 4 and verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Which word do you think it is now? Communication. Communication. Statement. Speech. All right. Now, a couple more. 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to throw you a curve. In verse 2. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Lots of verse in that verse. Okay? Which one do you think it is? How many of you think it's preach? How many of you think it's something else? What do you think it is? Huh? Exhort? How many of you think it's exhort? All right, let's see. How many of you think it's reprove? Rebuke? It's the word. Okay? Preach the word. Interesting. Preach the word. Well, let's look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What is it? Word. Look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. What is it? Speech. You know what it was saying. Okay. Speech. Wait a minute. What is this? The word of God. The speech of God. The communication of God. The thing whereby He will reckon us. The standard whereby we will give an account. You see how it's all coming together? Can I show you one of the most wonderful appearances of this Greek word in all of the New Testament? You don't turn. I'll read it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who is that? Jesus Christ. When God would give an account of Himself to us, what did He give us? Jesus Christ. He gave Himself in the person of His Son. When we would give an account to God, what will we give? We will give the truth about ourselves to God. Jesus Christ is the truth about God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, He hath revealed Him. Now, when you and I give the account, what does that mean then? It's the word logos. That's what that is. You've heard it in Greek before, but you might never have thought about that when you're reading Romans 14:12. So that every one of us shall give a logos about himself. Now, what does that mean? That means that one of these days you and I are going to be revealed for what we really are, just like God revealed Himself for what He really is in Jesus Christ. Now, we took a springboard from Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And we went to a word that was translated account in order to learn something. And we said we were going to talk about accountability. Now let me just challenge you, charge you, to use a Bible word, okay, tonight. I'm convinced that Bible accountability is one of the most important concepts for Christian people today. I'm convinced of it. We mentioned Mark Johnson a minute ago. I can't think of a better example anywhere of a young man who is able to accept responsibility for himself than that man. I was talking with him last night, and it's been a difficult circumstance under which he's leaving the church. He didn't do anything wrong, okay? But some changes are being made, and he's taking the brunt of it. But there's a young fella who is responsible for himself. Often, that's the word I want. Often, when people come in for counsel, I see one of two responses. I see people who say, in essence, I'm responsible for what I do. You tell me what I need to do. By the grace of God, I'll do it. That is Bible accountability. That is the person who is learning how to give account of himself. And then I see the other response which says, this is not my fault. This is somebody else's fault. You see, it's not me, it's my husband. Or it's not me, it's my wife. Or it's not me, it was my parents. Or it's not me, it's my neighbors. Or it's not me, it was my roommates. Or it's not me, it's you. Or something like that. I mean, people give us all this kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, you see people that you can't help. Now, you know, I don't know how many weddings I've performed, about 65 or something like that. And every couple that we've married, we've taken through a series of counseling sessions. Some of the couples, and some of you are sitting in this room tonight, some of the couples that I have married have come to that counseling with the idea that they're going to learn something.
they're going to get something out of this. They're going to listen and they're going to learn and they're going to be responsible for themselves and they're going to say, you show me the truth and I'll do it. And I want to hear it. You know, I'm amazed at some of the things I say in those sessions. I learn so much from myself. You know, because what happens? God leads me to say things that I didn't even know I knew. That's the truth. I start putting verses that I know together in new combinations, and it's amazing sometimes how God will lead in a situation like that when a young couple says, we want to know the truth. Mr. Berger has this happen to him all the time. I know he does. Now, there's the other thing. This other attitude of people who come in, and you can see it written all over them. We want you to marry us. We know this is our church. You have to say the words. You have to sign the license. If we have to sit here for 6 hours, let's go. You know, get it over with. And I take them through all the thing, and they yawn at me, and I yawn at them, and we go through all the stuff, and I'm not real sure they learn much at all. Why? What's the difference? Why is it that at one time I am able to really have a ministry to them, and at other times it's boring even to me? It's because they are the ones who open up the channel of God's blessing by being accountable for the things that they're hearing. That same principle is true in a person's life that approaches the Word of God. When a person wants the meditations of his heart to be acceptable to God, he's ready to get started. There is a person who eventually will have words coming out of his mouth that are acceptable to God. You see? Because in order for a person to have right words, the first thing they have to have is right meditations. They have to have right thoughts. Right? Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What a person really is inside is what he really is. And that will eventually be revealed by what he says. And if a person will be responsible for what he does, that is an unbeatable quality in a person's life. What I look for in an employee here at the church or on staff in any capacity, in leadership, in a deacon, in anybody who is going to be responsible, is the quality of accountability and responsibility, assuming that the person is saved and loves the Lord. The one that, listen, I'd rather have a person who is willing to accept responsibility for his own behavior than I would a person who's a genius. I'd rather have a person who is responsible for his own behavior than I would a person who had multiple talents in music and art and all the rest of it. I'd rather have a person who will say, by everything he says or does, I am responsible for myself, than I would any other character quality about a person. Why? Because that person will be honest. He'll be a hard worker. He'll be faithful. He might not be at first, but he'll get that way because God will make him that way. You see? Because a person who is responsible for his own behavior is a person who is able to learn. A person who is not responsible for his own behavior can't learn anything. He can't. He can't learn a thing, and you can't teach him a thing. Because nobody will ever gain a benefit from anybody else until they are able to say, I'll do what I'm supposed to do once I know what to do. They have to be accountable. They have to be responsible. They have to take initiative for themselves. All these words are involved in this. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, what does it mean to have accountability? It means, in essence, to express what you really are. To give a logos about yourself. And what's the greatest example of that anywhere, anytime? God Himself. God revealed Himself to us. There's another word that goes right along with this. It's the word transparency. Just being what you seem to be. The people in your life who have been the greatest blessing to you are people who are what they seem to be. People who are sincere. One of the reasons that my wife is such a blessing to so many ladies is because she is exactly what she seems to be. She is a transparent, real person with real needs and real problems and total responsibility for them. And she's a blessing that she goes to talk to others and helps them to see that. So often what we see in our churches today is everybody trying to make the words of their mouth acceptable to others instead of the meditations of their heart acceptable to God. You got to be transparent with God first and then transparent with other people. And if so, you'll be an unchoked channel that God can use. You'll be a soul winner. You'll be a prayer warrior. You'll be a balanced Christian eventually, because God will continue to teach you and you'll grow. That is an important theme here at this church. And for those of you who are new or those of you who've been visiting with us, let me encourage you to remember that is something that we stress and strive for constantly here at this church. And I think it's one of the reasons of God's blessing. Now, how are you doing? Are you accountable? Husbands, are you accountable to your wives? Wives, are you accountable to your husbands? Christian friends, are you accountable to each other? I want to be accountable to you. I've heard preachers say to their people, "Don't you ever criticize my preaching. Don't you ever interfere with my preaching. Don't you ever correct me. Hey, I'd like to serve notice on you right now. If I mess up, I'd like to know about it. I'd like for you to be nice about it, okay? But I'd like to know about it, okay? And don't do it while I'm preaching. But at the same time, okay? But by the same token, I want to know, because I want to be right. I want to say the truth. I really do. And if you know something that I don't know, I'd like to hear it. I really would. And then you'll hear me say it to everybody else once I learn it. You know that's true. You should be that same way. You should be that same way. When somebody comes to you and points out something in your life, if they're right and you're wrong, if you get your feelings hurt, it may be because of the way they said it, but it doesn't have to be. It's probably because you're embarrassed that they know something about you that you've been trying to hide. Keep that in mind. Okay? That's the way we do it. That's one way to do it. Study a word. Can you see the meaning and the excitement that you can get from learning what the words of the Bible mean? You say, "Well, I don't have one of those." Well, if you'll go to Pastor Dixon, you can borrow mine from him, because I had to go in his office and get it. Okay? All right. Let's stand tonight and be dismissed in prayer. Okay? Father, thank you so much now for your love to us and for helping us to understand this simple principle tonight. I pray that we would be transparent and open, and that we would be accountable to Thee and to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.